This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of The Pride Has Spoken. My name is Matt Scott. I'm your host today and producing this series along with fellow RHAP podcaster Grace Leader, as well as the person you're going to hear from for a lot of this conversation, Evie Jagoda from Survivor 41, who is going to be leading us into conversations celebrating LGBTQ plus survivors. And we've already heard from the one and only Bryce Isaiah, from Lisa Torres, from Zeke Smith about their unique experiences, each of them when it comes to not only their survivor experiences overall and their roles in this community, but also when it comes to queer representation. And so I am thrilled to introduce a couple of epic conversations with epic survivors to you today. The first is with Amy Cusack, who you know from Survivor Vanuatu, Season 9. You also know her from Survivor Micronesia, Fans versus Favorites, Season 16. And the second is a conversation with Ty Trang from Survivor Koran, Brains versus Brawn versus Beauty. He is a beauty, but also brings the brains and the brawn. We love it. And also Survivor Game Changers. And I am just so excited to talk with both of them because they each occupy a unique place of being returning players from the queer community and providing that representation multiple times on multiple seasons. And, you know, there's also this interesting conversation about who between the two of them had the first LGBTQ plus survivor kiss, because as you'll hear in the conversation with Ty, his kiss with his husband, Mark, shout out to Mark, was one of the first. It actually was the first LGBTQ plus survivor loved one's kiss. Easy for me to say. But looking at Amy, she also had a kiss with her loved one at the time, and that wasn't shown on the show. And so we talk about that. Actually, Evie and Amy talk about that. And I think the beautiful thing is that we all, as listeners, me and Grace, get to be along on the journey. And so I am thrilled for that. The other thing that means so much to me with Amy and with Ty is that each of them really take a chance in their interviews, take the opportunity in their interviews to talk about issues they care about and to use their platforms for good. You know, when it comes to queer communities, we could talk about representation and we could talk about the challenges, but I think that something that's so important is to just celebrate and recognize how much queer spaces and queer people have been on the forefront of creating positive change in the world. And I'm just going to name some names like Marsha P. Johnson, Sylvia Rivera, Harvey Milk, Edith Windsor, Laverne Cox, Lena Waithe. There are so many people in LGBTQ plus history in this community who've been responsible for facing injustice and for making our world a better place. And that's something that I, as a social impact storyteller, as an interviewer of changemakers, am really thrilled to be able to celebrate. Because, you know, as a queer person, and specifically as a young Black queer person, as a young Black queer man, I have found myself in many social change spaces and rooms where, unfortunately, I have been the only one of me in the room, whether the only Black person, only queer person, and definitely often the only Black and queer person. And just hearing from Amy about this initiative to protect Petiki Bay, which she's so familiar with and focused on the little blue penguin habitat, and hearing from Ty about the AIDS life cycle ride that he's been part of for so long, and about the environment and about climate change and about the bees and just all these issues that touch my work so much, is really inspiring, because it shows that even in spaces where we might not be represented, where we might face microaggressions, where we might feel uncomfortable at times because of our identities, that we could still show up and make an impact. And that is so much of what Pride is all about. So I'm thrilled for you to hear these conversations. But before I get into them, I just want to encourage you to check out robhasawebsite.com/prideshirt. More broadly, check out the Rob Has a Website shop, because if you get a shirt for the Pride Has Spoken, you could support this phenomenal organization, Gender Benders, which is doing great work when it comes to supporting trans and gender nonconforming people in the southern U.S., where there is a ton of legislation, as Grace put it, that's working to really legislate trans people, gender nonconforming people out of existence. And we're not going to stand for that. Gender Benders does not stand for that. And they create a community, and really a community that has a lot in common with Survivor. There's Camp GB. And so, you know, we really encourage you to, if you're a Survivor fan, a queer Survivor fan, to stand with us, stand with Gender Benders, and get yourself the Pride Has Spoken t-shirt, which you could do at robhasawebsite.com/prideshirt. But that's enough for now. I'm excited for you to hear these conversations with Amy and Ty. Thanks for tuning in. And now, without further ado, let's hear from Evie and Amy.
Okay. Wow. Listeners to this podcast will know I am always excited, but it's hard to describe how absolutely excited I am today to welcome a very special guest to The Pride Has Spoken. She's truly a survivor, LGBTQ icon. I was just told that I can call her a butch dyke homo. So let me please welcome the fantastic, the true survivor favorite, Amy Cusack, to the podcast. Hello.
Oh, hi, everybody. Kia ora. If we were in New Zealand, that's what I'd say. I'm really happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
No, truly, 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 thank you so much. I mean, I think this is now the third episode of this podcast, and I think by now people realize this was just an excuse for me to get to talk to people that I've always wanted to talk to. And I mean, you're just so on the list. Like, I can just viscerally remember the feeling when I was like literally halfway through your season, Survivor Vanuatu, and your girlfriend came out for the family visit, and I was just like, oh my God, Amy's one of us. This is amazing. It's truly surreal that I'm talking to you now. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being here.
Well, I have to tell you that when I knew I was going to do this interview with you, because in New Zealand, we don't get all of the, we don't get to see everything. So I immediately was like, I have to watch the entire season. My mom and dad and I watched your entire season. So
you did? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Sorry I didn't win. I tried, you know.
No,
I tried
hard. Was so proud of you though. Your individual immunity was epic. I was just, those are
Thank
the hardest
you.
Too. So I was super proud.
You Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I mean, you know a thing or two about the immunity wins. So that's an honor. Thank you. So I'd love to just kind of like start at the beginning a little bit. And like, I was, you know, so you watch my seasons, you know, I'm a huge nerd. So I obviously did a lot of homework, for this podcast. And I did just like, I just was really trying to put myself into the time in which Survivor Vanuatu was filmed. So it was filmed in like 2003. Is that right? Or it aired in 2004. So I was guesstimating something in that time frame.
Yeah, more 20 years ago, it feels like. Yeah,
exactly. But I was looking up, you know, like what was representation like on TV in that time? And so, like, you know, I think like the L word hadn't even come out yet. So this is like dark ages. So I was really just wondering, like, what was that like for you knowing that you were going to be on TV? Like, was that something you were excited about doing? Was it something you were nervous about doing? Just like, what were you feeling, you know?
It's crazy because I didn't even think about it. Mm. Like, I honestly didn't even think about it. And I think being who I am and like people don't see me walking down the street and be like, oh, look at her. She's a homo. Mm-hmm. Unless I'm like holding my wife's hand and we're making out, then maybe.
But that's a giveaway normally.
Yeah. But I've never even like thought of it. I've just been really lucky that I haven't had a lot of adversity. I mean, going to Montana, I've had a few times where I felt like my life was in danger. But yeah, I didn't really think about it until the actual day that the episode aired where Chrissy and I were when we had our family visit. And it was Thanksgiving Day. Mm-hmm. And we were at her family's house. And she has six brothers and sisters, very religious family. Like, I was the first person that she ever came out to.
Wow.
Like, all of her other girlfriends had been her best friends. And I, sadly, I'm sorry, Mom and Dad, I didn't care what they thought. I love them. They either love me or they don't. But I knew they'd love me.
Mm-hmm. So they didn't know either? Or they did know?
My parents, yeah, they knew she was my girlfriend. They didn't approve. Like, they didn't approve. They wanted me to have a husband and kids and all that stuff. But that just wasn't happening. But we were at Thanksgiving, my whole family, her whole family, not everyone in her family knew. Her grandparents were there. And we knew 20 million people were watching that episode.
That's so wild.
Back in the day when everyone watched. And we're all just sitting there and we're watching The Survivor and it just happens. And I could feel like both of us are just sitting there and I could just feel the blood rushing through my body. Like, well, the whole family's going to know now. If they didn't know before, everyone's going to know now. And it was a huge buildup too, because that was, CBS had never shown two women kissing before.
Wow. And
I kept getting all these things. Like, is it good? Because the commercials, they would show us like, and then they'd cut. And we're like, are they going to show it? Are they going to
wait, so the previews were like, coming up on Survivor, two girls might kiss. Like,
yeah. Oh no, they milked the heck out of it for sure.
Don't show it, right?
And then they didn't show it. Yeah. They didn't show it. It was just like, we were anticipating and waiting and like come on, but now they didn't do it.
Wow, that's honestly crazy, and that is not something I had ever, you know, thought about. And I was, you know, reading things about the time, and I saw you said that, like, that Mark Burnett said that the world's not ready for two women kissing or whatever. But people listening to this should go back and watch it, because it literally, like, I mean, you get the right before,
yeah,
and the right after,
and then they just.
Oh man, that's so wild. So was that then, I guess, some relief or disappointment, or it was just still so much, I guess?
Yeah, I wasn't attached. I would have been awesome. Like, how great would that have been for all of us? But I wasn't attached to it either way. I was just happy that we were watching it with our families and we were getting to have the experience together and that we won.
Yeah. And then I had totally forgotten about that until I rewatched it, that not only does Chrissy come, but then you play the challenge together, which I feel like is one of the only times where the loved ones have done an immunity challenge with the survivors.
I know.
And then you two win. And it's just like, I mean, could we be talking about something cooler during Pride Month? I mean, it's really cool.
No, it was epic. I was so, she's such a competitive athlete. Like, she's still one of my really good friends. And she's such a competitive athlete that I knew there was no way that she wouldn't give it everything. And the two of us together, it was just like inevitable. And so when we got home, I bought her a Rolex. I was like,
nice. Nice. Well deserved. Well deserved. that is so, so, so cool. And yes, I know you live in New Zealand now, so it's harder to watch Survivor, but definitely on season 39, Elaine and her now wife kiss at the family visit, and it's good. You know,
well, I'm working my way backwards, so I've done 42 and 41.
Nice.
And I haven't seen 40 or 39 yet. Wait, yeah, 40 or 39 yet. So I'm working, we're working our way back. Except nice. I kind of skipped back to 33 because Ken came and he helped me do some tree trimming the other day. Ken from 33.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so I'm like, I got to watch his now because I didn't see his.
For sure.
I've been gone for a while. So,
are you and Ken friends? That's so fun.
Well, it's funny because I'd never actually met him before, mm-hmm. but he had a little crush on one of my besties, Julie.
And
I kind of met him that way and we became friends. He's a really nice guy and he lives right up the road. And I was like, hey, do you want to come help me trim trees at my mom's house? And he's like, sure, I've never met you, but why not?
That's so funny. Is there anybody that doesn't have a little crush on Julie Berry? I mean, come on.
Seriously. Seriously? Seriously. Everyone I know. Oh, my wife is actually here right now. She was going to pop out and...
Oh my gosh. Yeah, please. I would absolutely love that. And your wife is Bianca. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. She is Maori. She's indigenous from Aotearoa, which is the proper name for New Zealand. And she's just here visiting for 2 weeks. And I'm pretty stoked on that because I'm here for 3 months. And I'm like, how am I going to go 3 months without seeing you?
But totally.
She's actually working right now because she works for Forest and Bird in New Zealand, and she's all about protecting the environment. And God, the Maori culture is just mind blowing. It's pretty much like all of the living species are your older brothers and sisters, and you look after them like their family, and it's beautiful. It's stunning. So that's what she's working on. So if she doesn't come out, it's because she's like deep in conversation with a penguin specialist or with a Department of Conservation or somebody.
For a really good reason. We'll accept it.
Yeah,
we'll accept
exactly.
Wow, that's so cool. I was actually going to ask you at the end. I was like, it's Pride Month, so I'd love to hear a wonderful love story. So how did you two meet? Let's take a Bianca tangent, if you're open.
Ooh,
to
okay,
it.
Okay. I actually got asked to go to New Zealand because I was in the craft beer industry. And I went for a year. And the place I was working at, she came in while I was working. And we immediately just like had a connection. And she asked me to go kayaking with her. Well, I didn't know like she has a kayaking business and she's an outdoors expert. She like works with troubled teens and indigenous people from other countries doing outdoor exploration and takes teens from New Zealand around and does outdoor survival and stuff like that. I had no idea. So anyway,
so cool.
She just asked me to go kayaking and it was like our first time hanging out and we take two kayaks out and she's like, oh, we're going to dive for kena, which is sea urchin. Well, she had no idea my background. She had no idea that I know how to free dive, no idea of that. So she takes me out and we have snorkels and we have bags. And she's like, okay, I'm going to dive down and get some. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I just watched her once. And then so I started diving down and grabbing him and pulling him. And we were doing it with our bare hands. You just have to do it really gentle. And so I started pulling up kinas and putting him up in the kayak. And she just looked at me like, wait a second, a white girl from America is like rocking the kai gathering. So, it was pretty fast.
Yeah. I mean, after that,
I looked at her like, oh, my gosh. And she looked at me like, oh, my gosh. And we were married 3 months later.
Wow. I love that. And how long ago was that?
6 years ago.
Nice. Nice. Well, congratulations. That story was everything I could have asked for. Thank you.
Oh, to make it even better.
Yeah.
We didn't want a big wedding. We didn't tell anyone. My poor parents, they get shocked on everything. We hiked up to this really beautiful sacred place. We live on a little tiny island that has 8,000 people, no McDonald's, no stoplights, no, none of that. So we hiked up to the top of this mountain that has these huge boulders that were shot there by a volcano 4 million years ago. And it's the first place that you see sunrise. So she was wearing a traditional pupu, which is like a hand-woven grass skirt that it's not grass. It's made out of flax or harakeke. And it's dyed. It's beautiful. And they're passed down generation through generation. And she wore her family's. And then I wore just this beautiful dress that I found somewhere real quick. And we hiked up there at sunrise. And most of the ceremony was in Te Reo Māori, which I didn't understand any of it. But I was just like, sign me up, I'm in, whatever. And we each had two people there. And we didn't tell anyone that we got married until the next day.
Wow. Were people mad?
I think so. Like, how can you get mad at something so
exactly.
beautiful? It was like a really beautiful day. It's the most beautiful wedding I've ever been to. I should show you a picture. You want to see a picture?
Yeah, that sounds beautiful. That sounds so beautiful. Yeah,
it was absolutely stunning. And even the picture of my wedding, like, I've never seen a picture. Maybe I'm biased. I'm probably biased.
I mean, if you're going to be biased about a wedding, it should be your own, you know? I think
it should be your own. All right.
So, I'm very into this. Okay. If you're only listening to the audio, this is why we do the YouTube also. Oh my God. I'm literally, this picture doesn't even look real. We've got like, so what time of day did you say this was? It was like
sunrise. Yeah.
Sunrise. And it's just like glowing and gorgeous. Okay. Oh my God. Incredible.
There's one other one just in case you want to see something. This is me and my flower girl at sunrise.
Wow. Literally, these are just the most gorgeous. These pictures look like paintings. Like they're just.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Wow. Wow. I love that for you. This makes me so happy. This is great.
same.
Congratulations again, man.
Thank you.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Okay, I guess I should ask you some Survivor questions. So you didn't even think about it going into it that, you know, that it was going to be this big thing of like you being on TV and like having your partner come on TV and everything. And then it was so interesting that also on your tribe, there's Scout, who also has a woman partner. And it's just so funny because in watching the show, they never show you two talk about that ever, or like anyone talk about it ever. And I'm wondering, like, was that true to the experience? Or was there a lot that was left out?
I don't feel like Scout and I ever really talked about it. Like, cause to me, it's not like a thing. It's just like talking about my toes or talking about my ears. It's just part of me. And so talking about that with Scout, it was kind of awkward a little bit with a few players, but not too much, Like I felt amazing. I felt like I was really lucky. I'm going to try with all women and I get along with all of them epically. And like, I felt super lucky that I ended up on a tribe of all women. And it wasn't really something that Scout and I talked about, because Scout wasn't really like gung-ho girls anyway. She was always working with Chris behind the scenes. She was always trying to like double side, double play things. So she wasn't just like girls strong. She wanted to mix up the game. So yeah, it was never really a conversation. I felt like Twyla was more like my homo bestie. And she's not even. So, yeah. But I felt like she was.
Yeah, she, you know, in spirit, maybe, in spirit.
Yes, definitely. She'd be okay with me saying that.
Okay, good, good. You said it, not me, but yes. Okay. As long as, well, yeah, that's so interesting. That's so interesting. And you said you just watched the season with Ken, and there's that cool
I've just
moment.
Started.
Oh, you just started.
Just first season. I mean, first episode.
Okay, no spoilers then, but there might be a scene where you get why I brought that up, but okay. I won't spoil it for you.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, that's so interesting. So you didn't feel, you two really didn't, it wasn't something you like bonded over or anything, or maybe, and no amount of like pressure maybe about it. Like, I don't know. I feel like I was talking to someone who was on a preview for my podcast with Ricard, which is coming out in 2 weeks from now. And he was talking a little bit about feeling like pressure of like, should I work with the other LGBTQ players? Because otherwise people will be like mad at me. Like, so like nothing on that level, really.
No. Uh-uh.
Yeah.
No. But I like saying that, seeing some of the players since then, I can definitely see people that are part of that group, I mean, are part of us. And I would have, like, I definitely would have migrated towards you. Like, you and I would have definitely been working together. And there's, like, other people. But I think that's just personality more so than anything else. It's just there's certain people that I really connect with and get. And I don't think it really has that much to do with it. It's just that some people you're just like, yep, those are my people.
Totally. I feel extremely honored to be counted among that. I feel completely. And I feel like that is what, like, on the one hand, I'm like, oh man, I wish on some level, I wish I like knew the whole time that Amy was like, was one of us so that I could have been like extra knowing that the whole time. But on the other hand, it was like, you watch the show and it's just like, Amy is like a badass Survivor player. And then it's just like, oh, by the way, she has a girlfriend. And I'm sure there was like a lot of people who maybe didn't view themselves as like that okay with it, who were just watching the show and rooting for you. And then they were like, okay, I'm already in. So, you know, here we go.
Well, and I got a lot of like man hater and I got a lot of that stuff too, but it just comes with being in the public eye. It didn't really affect me that much. It's just like, at first you're just like, whoa, whoa, wait. And then you're like, wait, 20 million people watching you. At least 20 of them are going to have really horrible things. I mean, still to this day, I get every now and again, a death threat. I get die, you should, and I'm just like, oh, you must be so bored, darling. You must be so very bored.
I mean, literally, like, that was 2004, people, let's move on, you know?
Yeah.
Wow, that's wild. Yeah, so do you think the man-hater thing was because you're a homo? Or, like, you were also men versus women, yeah.
Yeah, it was because I was on an all-girls tribe. And I wanted all the girls to stick together. Like that seemed to make sense to me. So
right. It's a relatable feeling for me. try to recreate that, you know, but it's hard. It's hard.
Not easy. Yeah. Twyla and Scout bailed out and that was the end of that.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was epic while it lasted. It really was.
And you know what? What a great twist. And it turned out Chris's wife got cancer right after that.
Oh,
it was
I didn't
just, like,
know that.
So perfect because they definitely needed the money, I'm sure, with everything that they went through. And she's fine now and she's amazing. And it all works out how it's supposed to. But it was really like, oh, I should have won. I should have at least been second. Like, the first
you should have. You should have. That world would have been cool. That world would have been cool. Chris,
it does great. Exist somewhere. It's like on the, like, multiplane somewhere I want. So I'm celebrating somewhere else in another universe.
I love it. I love it. And I'm there. We're having beers. It's great. I was interested to know, I think, so then, you know, yeah, you didn't win, but you maybe even better than winning got to be a Survivor favorite. An official, like, isn't that cool? You were an officially designated favorite.
I know. I was a little shocked, but very honored.
Yeah.
And it was fun watching their faces when I walked out, like the fans' faces when I walked out. They were like, oh God, not her.
That's funny. Did any of the fans express that to you, or that was more a visual?
Oh no. Yeah, no, definitely. Oh God, why can't I even think of her name right now?
Tracy or
I love Tracy. She's why can't I think of her name right? I spent the night on XL with her. Why can't I think of her name?
Kathy? Is that
Kathy.
Her name?
Kathy. Oh yes. My God. She was just like, I didn't like you. I didn't like you at all. I didn't like you.
Wow. Well, that sounds like the Kathy we met on TV. So.
She's awesome. She's a handful, but she's awesome.
Yeah.
No hate there. In fact, I don't think really anyone from that season. Am I like, ew? I think
that's great.
Everyone from that season, I think, are fabulous.
And I was going to say, and you got to be on with Eliza, who you two are still in touch, right?
I love her. Yeah, I absolutely love Eliza. She's just next level. I can't even. What she's up to right now is the real deal hardware. It's the same stuff my wife's doing. It's the kind of stuff that's next level. Like, people want to hate them for that. You know what? Well, what are you doing at that level? Even if you don't agree with what she's saying, like, what are you doing at that level? She is making a difference at a level that is far beyond what most people even could imagine doing. So I support her 100%. Always.
Yeah. No, she's fantastic. And I got to meet her a few weeks ago. And I think, that's like really, I mean, what I'm trying to do here with this podcast and everything is just like really try to like bring representation and like have, you know, I think it's so special that we got to like be on this TV show and that people get to watch that and feel excited to see us and everything like that. And, but also like, I think it's really important to like try to translate that into as much good as you possibly can.
Definitely.
And it's so cool that Eliza, you know, is one of those people that like is really like explicitly taking the platform and, you know, and also being a lawyer and, you know, all that. And just really doing some with it because like, yeah, what's the point of getting death threats once every 6 months if you're not going to do something good also, you know?
Totally. I think that's one of the greatest things about Survivor is the platform that we've been given to do charitable work and like have a voice to like do things that help other people and stand up for things that we believe in and raise money for kids that need help. And just all around, it's been, I feel like, so lucky to be part of this family. And so many of the people that have been on the show have become my closest friends. And like, you can go anywhere. I've had people in New Zealand on my little island, like Sabrina came to see me.
Oh,
Binry
cool.
came to see me. Mikey B came to see me. Julie came to see me. Eliza, Leanne, Allie, who like so many of the survivors, they're like, oh, I'm in New Zealand. I'll pop over and say hi to Amy while I'm here. It's like any one of the survivors that comes to New Zealand, you can call me and I'll show you, I'll take you around and take you on an adventure. And I love it so much because they're willing to do ridiculous things too. Like, let's go spend the night on the beach and build a fire and look for glowworms and watch the phosphorescence. Like, only survivors are say yes to that.
Right, right. Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. I love that. And I mean, it's only been less than a year since my airing. And like, I really feel that. And I felt especially that like the LGBTQ players of all sorts, like have just been so just nice to me. And it's really special. And I think like, you know, there's not that many of us, but there's more and more of us. And it's just really cool to be able to have this community and connect to each other. And yeah, it's just special.
I agree completely.
I love that. I was wondering like, so, you know, you haven't kept up that much with the show, but I don't know if you know that. I feel that like Survivor Vanuatu and like you especially, like, I don't know, I feel like you've only rose in prominence over the years. And like, do you know that?
Oh my gosh. So I was out at the first Friday downtown to see all my friends. And out is like the first big gathering for Pride. And there,
love it.
We had about an hour where I just went around and talked to people that were on their own. I'm just like, hey, how are you? Hope you're having a great Pride. I just wanted to say hi. And, but there was a girl that was probably 22. Her name is Alexa. And she was standing by herself and she was just so adorable. And I walked up to her and I'm like, oh my God, I just have to tell you, if I had a daughter, you'd be her. Just you over here in your cute little ridiculous outfit. You look amazing. You just look happy. And she goes, oh, she goes, you look so familiar to me. That's weird. And I go, well, you look like you could be my daughter. And she's like, no, I've seen you before. And I was like, oh, here we go. Here we go. Because that doesn't, I mean, it used to happen all the time. And
right
now it's just like every now and again. And I go, well, it could be from like 20 years ago. And I go, I did Survivor forever ago. And she's like, oh my God, that's it. I've seen every Survivor 3 times and blah, 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 blah. Totally know. She's like, get on my picture. And she got so excited. Now we're friends on Instagram and we're going to go have lunch together. And yeah.
I love that.
So yeah.
I love that.
Having them at full access on TV now.
Yes.
Definitely people.
Yes. Yes. And I really feel like you as like a strong woman, like player, like I really feel like that speaks a lot to people. And like, we were in this desert for like almost, over the course from like 30 to 40 until from 30 to 40, there were only, I think, 2 women winners or one, or I don't know, people in the chat are going to be mad at me. We needed that archetype, and like, it was so fun to always go back and like look at your seasons. Like, there's gonna be, you know, there's gonna be other strong players like that. And so, like, I mean, there's even, I think at this time, according to Twitter, there is a podcast being created called Stan Uatu. Like, they stan it, which means like, you know, they love it so much. I don't know if that lingo made it to New Zealand. So, I just want you to know, like, the impact is like long and deep. And like, I mean, as someone who was very like, just, it really was really special for me. I just hope you know that like thank going out you. There and like doing that is huge.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a really amazing experience, and I definitely gave it all I had. And what's really cool is 4 years ago, I think it was, for my birthday, Bianca took me back to Vanuatu and back to the beach where we slept every night.
Wow.
And while we were there, the tribe that owns the land where we were, one of the women from that tribe, Lily, she was like, we had to take a 4-wheel drive truck and hike. And like, it was not easy to get to. And we got there and there's Lily. And I remember, I don't know where she saw me. Or no, maybe it was in Ponderosa or something. I'd seen her. I was never allowed to talk to her, but I'd seen
her.
And she remembered me. She goes, oh, Blue Bikini. I remember you, Blue Bikini. And she was carrying bananas, coconuts, and a crab. She didn't have the crab. She was carrying bananas, coconuts, and manioc, which is what we ate. And I found a crab, like, as we were walking to her. And I'm like, oh, Lily, a crab. And she's like, and she all of a sudden wrapped it up. And I was like, God, I wish I could have done that on Survivor. I wasn't
ready. Yeah.
But she just wrapped it up and everything. And then we gave her a ride back to her house, which was like a 20-minute ride. She was going to carry all this stuff on her back.
Wow.
And it was just so cool talking to her. And she remembered all of us. And it was right there on that land. But it was so surreal going back. And I went back on the same boat that we were brought in on. And I went back out to Ponderosa and saw Ponderosa again. And it's exactly the same. It's creepy.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Vanuatu has a huge place in my heart. And like meeting Da, I don't remember if you remember Da, who was our reward guy that I just connected with so deeply. I cried when he left.
Yeah.
And he gave me his necklace when he left. And it was just, I learned so much from him, and it was so cool just experiencing the culture. Those people are beautiful. So Vanuatu was really special to me as well.
That is so, so cool. So people like living there could actually see like the game happening, or I guess, yeah.
Well, it was their family land. So
in
Vanuatu, your family has a certain area that's yours, and that's where you grow your coconuts, where you grow your manioc, and we were on their land. So they would see us going out. I mean, they could creep around in the bushes where we weren't allowed to go and watch us, I'm sure.
Right.
So yeah, I know that they definitely saw us more than we saw them, and coming in and out for challenges and stuff, or for tribal council, I'm sure they saw us.
That's so, so wild. Well, I was wondering, so now, and your wife is Maori and everything, like, has, I don't know, do you think any differently about, like, the way that Survivor interacted with these, like, local people in these experiences, like, now that, I don't know, now that it's been some years?
Well, actually, I thought it was really beautiful. Mm-hmm. That was my favorite, like, the night we got to spend with the tribe. It was really interesting, like, how, from my perspective, sexist it was. Mm-hmm. And like the women weren't allowed to drink kava. So they had to take us out into the forest and make a special circle for us. And we had to drink kava behind closed doors, and not behind closed doors, like in the middle of the jungle, but where no one could see us. So that was really like, we sat and Eliza and I sat in the kitchen with the women, and the kitchen was like dirt floors and open windows. And so that was weird, but I think the interaction was beautiful. I think it was actually really, really beautiful. And so special. We were so far away from anyone or anything. And when they asked Eliza and I to stay forever, I just was like, well, can I mean, CBS, can I? But
right.
Maybe I'll come back after I win the million.
But it was just,
I think that was the most special, because you can't buy that experience.
Totally.
There's no, your $1 million can't buy you that experience. You could pay to do it. But we were really, I really felt like we were a part of them for that night. Like they
That's really so cool. Welcomed us
and singing and dancing by the fire. It was magical. Yeah.
That's so cool. And then to get to go back, like that's really wild and cool. And with Bianca, that's really cool. Has she seen it? Has she watched Survivor?
She watched my first season. Yeah. I told her not to watch the second season.
I cried all of it. Yeah. You know, All the best All-Stars, you know, it's hard to come back a second time, you know?
Yeah, I definitely wish I could do it over. But, you know, we all do. We all are like, oh, my gosh, what if I just woulda, coulda, shoulda?
Yeah. But did you feel? Because ultimately that season ends with, a badass women's alliance. How did you feel like that was still the outcome, even though you didn't get to be a part of it?
Well, I wasn't happy at all. I could care less if it was all girls. Like, who cares? It wasn't us. It wasn't me and Eliza and the people I wanted to win. I mean, God bless Parvati, but no, I could care less.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no, it's very funny because I was thinking about, because your season was men versus women, and there had been men versus women before that on season 6. And I don't know if you've ever seen that season, but it's way more like horny and like way more like girls, you know, women taking their tops off for peanut butter and chocolate. And like, Jenna. And
Jenna.
And it's just funny how that didn't seem to be a huge element in Vanuatu.
Well, it was,
I guess, with Julie.
You just didn't see it all.
Gotcha.
I mean, do you remember all the girls painting me? Like I went and painted all the girls singly. Or like, and then all of a sudden they're all painting me, and I was just like, this is magic. I love it.
Okay. Obsessed with that.
Yeah, no, I think it wasn't for the public. Like we were having our own fun doing our own thing. It wasn't like Julie was doing some gameplay, but I think we were just having fun. We played mermaids all the time. Like we would go out and play mermaid. They didn't show that. They didn't show a lot of our fun stuff.
What does playing mermaids entail?
Oh, it means going into the ocean and picking the color of your tail and swimming and diving and playing in the water and having seaweed on us. And we just had fun.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's the thing. They never show all the fun, right? Because I guess that's not good TV. But
No, they don't show all the fun. But I mean, how could they? There's so much to pack into 45 minutes. Like every 3 days is 45 minutes. Like how do you pack it all in? Like, I wish they could. That would be so amazing, but no.
Totally. Is there anything else from either of your Survivor experiences that didn't make it that you would have wished did?
No, Ozzy and I had a lot of fun. Like, Ozzy and I had a lot of fun going diving and stuff. We spent a lot of time going out and looking for clams and getting them. We got one that was so big we had to take the lifesaver circle thing and we had to both push it down and get the clam on top of it and like lift it up together.
Wow.
And they did show Suri and I going out and finding crabs, and they put Psycho music behind it. Do you remember that?
I
so
don't.
Me and Suri with machetes in a bag. Like we brought home 10 giant rock crabs. They were so good. But like we're going out, you had to go at sunrise and we're going out and like you had to stick them through the middle with the machete, and they put Psycho music.
Just scary that, women killing crabs.
Like, what the hell? We're just hunting for food, you weirdo.
But when Ozzy alone goes, he gets majestic music.
Yeah, he gets like dun 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 dun. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw that Ozzy recently came out on Twitter as bisexual and has been like, it's amazing. And I just, I really had never thought about Ozzy too much as like someone that I would connect to as a Survivor player, but he just did an amazing interview about it with Bryce Isaiah, and like, he's so cool. And so like, it doesn't surprise me at all that you two hit it off.
Yeah, he was one of my very favorite. To this day, he said his biggest regret is voting me out. My heart was broken when he voted me out. I was like, seriously, Ozzy? Like, you've taken me in the forest and shown me where your hidden immunity idol is. We've gone diving together all the time, and you pick Eric over me. Like, what the actual hell? But
and
like, I'm so sorry.
And if they had just voted out Eric then, we could have saved him from, you know, from
embarrassing himself beyond belief. Oh well.
Yeah, it happens. But I love that, and I could totally see you two out there getting the world's largest clams or whatever.
Yeah, he was fun. I really liked playing with Ozzy.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I don't want to take too much of your time, but I really just want to tell you, like, just from the bottom of my heart, like, you really, 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 like, inspired me a lot, and I was so happy to get to watch you on TV, and there still has not been a openly straight woman winning the show. And we got to change that. But like, seriously, thank you for existing. And like, the impact is forever. I really, really mean that. And I really, really, really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today.
Well, I want to thank you for being the most super amazing, stylish, smart, like really strategic, joy filled, awesome play. Like, I can't wait till we actually get to hang out one day and
me too,
like, go out and laugh and talk and just like get to know each other. So I look forward to that big.
Thank
and I
you.
Loved watching your season, even though I think you should have lasted a lot longer. I was devastated. I didn't think it was going to be you. I honestly did not think it was going to be you when I was like jumping up and down the living room, like, no, this wasn't supposed to happen yet.
The double tribal screwed me, you know, whatever. Yeah. It happens.
It happens. It happens.
But seriously, thank you. Thank you. And I really hope, word on the street, you might come to Boston sometime in the next couple months. So
yeah, I really want to come see Julie and her little Bubba Lily Bear. So we'll see what happens. It's a lot to fit in, but
for sure,
we'll see.
For sure. Either here or New Zealand, you know, one of those. So
yeah, well, you're always welcome. I'm 100% like open door policy. If you come, you have a place to stay on Waiheke for at least two nights. Pushing it.
That's fair. That's totally fair. That's so nice. Is there anything that you want to like plug or I don't know, anything people should check out or...
If anybody feels like looking into something that's really important and watch what's going on with my wife and her work, Protect Putiki. Putiki Bay is a bay in New Zealand where they are building a super yacht marina with a floating car park, floating sewage containers, and they're building it right on top of little blue penguin habitat. And little blue penguins are the smallest penguins in the world. And there's about 180 little blue penguins there. And so we're doing everything we can to fight that and just say, stop, enough is enough. Like, consumption is done. And now protection is what we should all be looking forward to. And also, I think if you can grow your own garden, do it. If you can get more self-sustainable, do it. If you can connect with your community, do it. If there's somebody next door that you don't know, go knock on the door and say hi. If there's an elderly person in your neighborhood, go say hi and bake them a cake and just check in on them every once in a while. I think slowing down, building community, growing your own garden, I think that's like the path to all of us really connecting with each other and shifting the way things are going.
I love that so much. Oh, wow. I really feel like that was like over the past, honestly, in the COVID years, I feel like I really have been, like living in my living where I live, like a lot more, you know, like the slowing down and like, yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to, yeah. Having my garden's not doing that well this year, but we're going to try to revive it this weekend. But no, I love that. I think that's an amazing message.
Yay.
Yay. Okay. Thank you so much, Amy Cusack. It happened. It happened. Bye.
Bye.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Hello, everyone. It is my absolute honor to welcome to The Pride Has Spoken a man. He's a beauty. He's a game changer. The one, the only, Ty Trang.
Woo! Oh, my God. Hi, Abby. Oh, my Hello. God. Hi, everyone. Hi. Happy Pride, everyone. First of all, a beauty. Don't get me started on that again. That was like such a weird thing on the boat to get the suddenly get set on the beauty tribe. But thank you. Happy Pride, everybody. I'm happy so
pride.
Happy to be on.
Happy
on,
Pride.
On, yeah.
I mean, yeah, we can totally circle back to the whole beauty thing, but truly you are very beautiful inside and out. And I'm really, really special, really, really glad that on this Pride I get to talk to you. Because I really, 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 truly believe that you're a beautiful human. So thank you for being here.
Wow. Thank you for saying that. I'm not sure my mom would agree on anything else. But yeah, you know, we do what we can. Thank you for such kind word. I'm such an honor to be invited to be on the big one on Rob has a podcast. Oh my God, I'm such a big fan. I'm a big fan of all you guys. Big fan of you, and I'm so honored to be on this site. Limited edition and special edition. So yay!
Yes,
happy Pride and everybody out there celebrating. I mean, I would not. I mean, you just make my like this is like a special 5 years for me. So thank you.
It's a special Pride year for you. How come?
Oh, just to be on the
because rock. You get to be here.
Yes. gotta talk to you.
Yes.
Yeah,
oh,
no,
I love
it is
that.
It is a special Pride actually just come out of COVID, you know. We haven't had a parade for how many years? You know, it's been so long, but everybody coming out. But just be careful, everybody.
Yes.
When you're indoor, gotta wear your mask.
Yes,
you know, even and go test it and go get your booster, multiple booster. You know, you gotta protect yourself and protect everybody else at the same time.
Yes, and luckily it's summer now. You know, some good outdoor Pride fun. You know, that's
what oh I'm my god, for. Yes,
yes,
yeah,
yes. Yes.
A lot of skin.
yes. Wait, so Ty, I have to ask you. So we were texting a little bit in the lead up to this, and you were saying how your husband, Mark, was making you a cocktail. And it just occurred to me, like, so your husband is Mark and Mark the chicken? This came first? How did this happen? How did I not think about this ever again before?
Oh my God. That's a question. Everybody keep that. No, of course, my husband, Mark, came first, right? I mean, we've been together for, I think, about 10 years before I got to meet Mark the chicken. But yeah, no, we've been together, but the chicken, but actually people always ask me and no, Mark the chicken is named after like Julia, on my season on Caron. Actually, we have three chicken and one of them was named Jeff, one of them named Mark Burnett. And what's the other one named? Oh shoot. I don't remember. Anyway.
So it's Mark Burnett. That's
Mark Burnett. I have to credit that to Julia, who did that, but not gotcha. Me. But, you know, I like all Mark, so he took to me. Yep.
I love it. Well, I love, I really, I'm trying to lean, you know, it's
Pride. It's a cocktail. Right?
Yes.
And I know we were talking about earlier, like Boulevardier, which is my go-to drink, but it's still kind of early. I don't want to be drinking too much. And this is like Campari soda. It's a light, pretty drink with some bubble. Yeah.
I love it. So I'll save the raunchy questions for after you drink more of the drink.
No. It's just light.
No, good. Wait, so I would love to hear, you know, it's Pride. We're all about celebrating love and everything. And I would love to hear how you and Mark met, if you don't mind.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? The question. All right. I will tell you how we met. You ever heard about Folsom Street Fair in San Francisco?
No.
Okay. It's Folsom Street Fair is a, it's a letter and S&M letter piercing, celebrating the kink community.
Amazing.
And yeah, it's great. It's gay, straight, bi. Everybody's welcome. You know, all shapes and form. It's wonderful. It's beautiful, right? They're close to the street and people literally have sex and things like that on the street. But it's an adult fair, right? It's been going on for so many years. And then suddenly they start building condo. So Folsom is huge, right? And then the local people, local gay community say, hey, this is too big of a crowd. Let's have our little fair called the Outdoor Alley Fair. And that's even more raunchier. That's even more graphic. That's more celebrating people having sex on the street. And I used to do a lot of volunteering. So I would volunteer to try to tell people to tame it down because the city trying to shut it down. People build condo. And I was volunteering. Mark just happened to walk by, as he's saying. So that's where we met. I said, give me my number. Here's my number. Call me later. I'm working. Uh-huh. I literally was working, telling people to calm down. Yeah, so that's how we met. And he waited. Amazing. I mean, Mark was so sweet. He got so many numbers. You haven't met Mark. He's a great, I mean, handsome, great looking guy. Anyway. Yeah,
I mean- I saw him at the family visit in Game Changers.
I know, but that doesn't justify. It just
like, doesn't do him justice.
No. He's very cool. Anyway, that, yeah. So that's how we met. And he called me later.
I love that.
That's his story.
Love that.
Now, it's a great thing, though. It's now every Folsom Street, every Dory Alley Fair, that's our anniversary. We still go.
That's so sweet. I love that. Did it happen already this year? Or people can find you there coming up?
No, not yet. I think the end of July.
Nice.
Am I wrong? Yeah.
Well, people just have to look out. No, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And like, yeah, I think, you know, it's great to hear that story because I feel like so much, you know, I just, Pride is about celebrating as like inclusively and bigly and boldly as possible. So I love getting to
hear that. Yeah. I mean, actually, Mark was living in Santa Rosa. He was starting to be a nurse and he just come down to a beer bus in the Southern Market. That's a little letter community. He's not into letter. I mean, nor were we. There's nothing wrong with that. But he was so sweet. He got like a bunch of, he walked and he saw the fair, he walked, he got a bunch of lists. Like 13 lists or something. And I just happened to be the last person. And I waited 2 weeks for him to call. And finally I called him and said, hey, dude, what happened? Like, and he said, well, I was going down the list. And you were
a
the
list
last
of
person.
Phone numbers?
Yes.
Oh my God.
What? Oh, he's actually no, it's very sweet. It's amazing.
No, it's really
sweet.
Fair.
We talk about being fairness. Yeah,
I love it. And now you've been together. You've been married for 10 years.
Oh my God! No,
we've been
together 15 or 17 years. We're too old now. We don't even think about it. No, we got married about 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah,
amazing.
See, I'm not very sentimental, but so we got married on Cinco de Mayo, so we will remember our anniversary. It's so funny. We got a kid. Kitten when we were together, and that's how old the cat is, how long we've been together. And we still don't know whether 17, 18, or 16, we don't know. But that's fine. You know, we're set for life.
I love that. I love that. Man, Ty, I was thinking, I really wanted to have you on because I feel like you have just such a, you know, such a different life story than most Survivor players, you know, coming from Vietnam and everything. Yeah. And I would love to hear like a little bit about that. And also just, you know, thinking up coming from that background and ultimately getting to the States, like, I was wondering, you know, when in that time, or did you know you were gay, or, you know, if that kind of how that came to be in your life?
Oh my God. Yes, actually that's, So I was born in, during the war, Vietnam War. All I know is the war. Like, we hear bombing. I live in Saigon, like little China. I'm Chinese, but I'm from Vietnam. We were this little Chinatown of Vietnam. And we always hear the war, during the war, in the 60s. I mean, you're like way, way, way before most of your guys' time. And, so we were poor. Like, I come from like one of 10 brothers and sisters. I mean, we have 11 kids. I'm number six. So it's like the oldest girl, the youngest boy. This is funny. I'm jokingly, but funny, but it's kind of crazy. Oldest girl, youngest boy, the second oldest boy, second youngest girl, and then three girls and three boys. And I'm like little number six. That's how I turn gay. I telling people that. That's because that's how I turn gay. But we are such a big family. We were poor. Like, we were literally poor. For after the war, or during the war, after war, we have no food at all. Like, for 6 months, we're eating rice and soy sauce. Like, literally rice and soy sauce and bar rice. And then the war came over. The war ended in 1975. I'm giving you a really long version. But
no, this is amazing. But
yeah, the war ended in 1975. And I mean, we were digging God. We live in next. That's how the chicken story started, actually. This is the original Mark story, Mark the chicken story. That's how it started. We have to raise all our food. We were living like with, including grandmother, with like 14 of us, living in the back of a tiny little house where we actually have a bunch of chicken. Like, that's where we can get eggs, and that's where we get meat. Like, once or twice a year, we would slaughter chicken. Or when we go visit holiday, we give people chicken as a present because we can't afford anything else. And I used to be really young. My first job when I was really young was watching chicken laying egg. The chicken eventually learned that they can eat that egg, so they would peck the egg. So we have to figure out which chicken that eat the egg so we can kill that chicken, eat the chicken so they don't destroy it. Yeah, anyway, long story, but I fell in love with chicken that way I was. And then the war came. I was like, and war ended in 1975. I was like 9 years old. And then live under communism, which is another story. It's crazy. Like, this, everything was like the whole country fall apart. And then we went on, and by 1975, people escaped Vietnam by boat. You know, I think Hai's family have the same similar story.
Hai. Oh, wow.
And then, yeah, so we all get on this tiny little boat. It's like 262 people for like 26-meter boat, like 30-yard boat. Like, I was sitting there for 11 days without food and water. We float on the open ocean for 11 days. And then
that's so crazy.
We found this Indonesian island, and we jump up, and then we live off the island for a week, and then they found us, and then they brought it to Indonesia, and that's how actually that's my and you live on a refugee camp for like a year. Like, we were there just doing nothing, waiting for, as a refugee, we're political refugee from the communist Vietnam communism, and we waited, and then Like United States government would come and say, hey, you know, my dad used to work for the U.S. government as a warehouseman. And then so they asked us to, so we registered to come back. But to answer you, how I came out, I mean, how did I realize I was gay? I was like 13 in the refugee camp. But like, this is crazy. But my first sexual experience was on the camp with some older guy.
Wow, wow.
Yeah, in a toilet. Like,
wow.
You're sitting in an open, like, outhouse. in a toilet. Wow. Into ocean, Indonesian ocean. That's what my foot experience.
Wow.
And then I didn't do anything. Like, that was the first thing. And I completely shut the whole thing out.
Was that something you were excited about? Or, like, that sounds intense also. But, like, it was...
Actually, you know, like, as a gay person, we always know, right? We always know, right? People say, how do you know? I say, I just don't. You always know. I just remember when I was really young getting a haircut, I was all excited because it was touched by a man, an older person cutting your hair. That's how I know, like, that my first, earliest experience, right? But then that, and then the refugee camp was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm outing this story on so much. This is not what it's supposed to be. I thought it's supposed to be something else. Anyway, I'm outing myself. Anyway, and then the crazy thing is, and we end up in America, in California. I went to school, and then I went to Italy for a whole year. I live in Italy. And in Italy, the whole time, I did nothing, right? I was asexual, really asexual. I didn't do anything until after graduated from college. And I'm in San Francisco. That's where the gay Mecca is. You know, that's when I start, like, just right after the AIDS epidemic in the 90s. And that's when I moved. And then, anyway, the rest is story. Anyway, so
wow! Thank you for sharing all that. Wow,
this is crazy. You should probably cut some of this out.
if you want to, we will. But I'll reciprocate that. My first like makeout with a girl, because I dated men for a long time because I was just always like, this is fine, you know, this is fine. So I'll just do that because that'll be easier, you know. But then one like magical night, I was at like a research course, because I was supposed to be learning about how to do research with mice, which I really didn't like. And I'm sure you can relate as someone that loves animals. And at the end of it, I basically made out with a girl in the bathroom. So bathrooms are great places, you know. Sometimes that's the right spot.
Oh, it's a safe space. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it happened. You just, people, you, I mean, for people, just go for it, right? I mean, just go for it. I mean,
because you might not know what you're missing, you know? Like, I mean, for me, I really thought, like, okay, my life is, this is good enough. But then it really, like, opened my world, you know?
Yeah. I mean, just like I always say, tell people, just try it. You can always say no the next time, right? Exactly what you're saying. You never know what you're gonna miss, what you've been missing, and what's out there. You know, people. Yeah, open your mind.
Yeah, and since you brought it up, I was looking at your Survivor bio and everything, and I saw that that you raised lots of money through AIDS Cycle.
Oh my God! Yeah, you know how bummed I am this year. They're on day three right now. Literally this week. We are doing it. I did that for 13 years straight. And then after Survivor, and then I was signed up, and then COVID hit again.
Yeah.
And this year I meant to sign up, and there's some conflict, and I'm so regretting not going. I'm missing so much. Yeah.
Next year.
Next year, definitely. You got in California. I mean,
it's a bike ride that raises money. Does it raise money for AIDS research or what?
No, it's sponsored by San Francisco AIDS Foundation and LA Gay and Lesbian Center. It's sponsored by the Gay and Lesbian Center, San Francisco AIDS Foundation and LA Gay and Lesbian Center. And it's a great event. If you like outdoor, if you like camping, if you're a Survivor fan, this is your event to go, right? So basically, ride from San Francisco, 545 miles down to Los Angeles. And you camp every night. And yesterday, about like 106 miles. You ride for 7 days, 6 or 7 days, 6 or 7 days. God, I can't believe I don't remember. But most of the day, you like 80, 90 miles. And you ride, you don't have to carry anything. But you do have to sleep in a tent, you know, and everything. It's like a little city, like 3,000 3,000 rider, and you raise minimum, you have to raise $3,000, but most of the time you raise $5,000. Like this year, the event raised over $15 million one week,
so cool.
3,000 people. The whole, they have about 500-600 crew member and 3,000 rider, and then they have the whole support. It's very, what do you want to say? It's like we call it the love bubble, the love bubble. It's like what ideal world should be like. Like everybody's supportive. Like, but you're on the ride on the bike. I used to train people on a bicycle. Actually, I used to be train ride leader. I mean, you still have to ride. I mean, if you're tired, you injure yourself, they bring you back to camp. But even though 3,000 rider, it's all in your mind. Also, you're by yourself. So a lot of self-discovering, and it's very emotional. A little bit like survival. You're out in the environment the whole day. It's wonderful. So, and come next year. I'm so bummed I'm not there right now. I'm telling you every day.
Yeah.
So
okay,
come ride with me, Abby.
Yes.
Are you bike ride? Yes. Oh my God.
I
can be roommate. Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Oh my God. Let's do it. I ride my bike for commuting, you know, but I've never done anything even close to that.
There used to be a lot of ride, like from, I think, Boston to DC. There used to be a lot of ACE ride. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
This is the only one that's, I think there might be some smaller ride, but this is the big one.
Okay. But next year,
we got to see California. Yeah.
We'll get this year. We'll do it. oh man, that's so cool. Okay, so I guess we should talk about Survivor a little. You know, I've grilled. but in general, you know, we were talking, and even before we started recording, about like just how important it is to be visible and be out there. And I was wondering when you applied for Survivor, was that part of the motivation, or did you think about that in relation to Survivor, or was that kind of like, I'm going to go out here and just do Survivor and be me, and you know, that's just part of who I am, you know?
I mean, it's just like my regular daily life too. My gay identity is just part of me. I don't wear it, I don't wear it on my sleeve. It's part of me. It's just like the color of my skin. I don't really talk about it a lot, but I'm out at work, and I think on my video, I try to remember what I put on my audition. I think my last thing I say on my audition tape was something about being, you know, I want to be the survivor. I want to be a gay Asian 51-year-old man to win Survivor. And I say,
that.
I'm network gold. I told him that. And I got a call back from Jesse pretty soon after that. But it's kind of funny. You know, every time we see a gay survivor, or somehow somebody mentioned a boyfriend or a girlfriend, we all get all excited and say, oh my God, it's one of us on it. You know,
yes.
It's like we all root for them, right? It's very exciting. So, but you know, or any BIPOC people, you know, or any minority group. I mean, I love the cast, recent cast. It's great. I mean, I'd say we have to be colorful. And then, you know, for me, for when I apply, I just say, you know, I'm just Thai. Yeah, I want to be somebody, because you don't really see a lot of people like me. You know what's really funny? Because I can't, first time I saw myself on audition, I said, oh my God, I have such a thick accent. But I have no idea that's what I sound like until when I saw it. But so when I apply, actually Mark and I supposed to apply for Amazing Race and it didn't happen. CBS asked me to apply for Survivor. And then for a while I say, no, I'm so scared. I'm a big fan, but I'm so scared of the show. But it's just to be, I didn't want to be labeled. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be like, but you can't help it. You know, we are part, we represent, right? Mm-hmm. One thing my goal was, I want to be memorable, you know, on the show, and I want to represent well. Mm-hmm. That's including the gay and also Asian, like an Asian, yeah. And I think which one is tougher? I mean, it's weird because I'm Thai, right? I never think of. I'm more worried when I get on to the beauty tribe and say, oh my God, everybody's beautiful. Like, here I am. Like, I'm so out of that loop. Everybody young, I was become the caretaker for the tribe. And I'm also more worried about, I mean, right off the bat, the first day, we sit around, talk about relationship. I say, oh, I'm gay or whatever. And I actually lie about my age. I'm more worried about age. I told them I was 41. I was 51 at then. And yeah, right. 21. And then I was a little bit more worried about being Asian because, you know, than being gay. Because, you know, I think because that's, I don't know, there's something, I'm going to be a little bit bitchy about this, okay? So bear with me. On my season and also when I watch other season, like something, just season 41 with Erica, I think when with Asian people, there's something about, I think this is a subconscious bias. People look, the fan or the player looking at, because I hear comments. Like, when I saw her, I said, she didn't do anything sneaky about it. But people always, that label, sneaky, drive me crazy. Mm-hmm. All my season, when I do stuff, people, oh, we can't trust her. He's sneaky. Or the fan told me, or the people comment, sneaky. I don't know where that come from. But other people playing, a white person or somebody else playing, oh, somebody's strategizing, who's playing games, strategic. But when we try to do something, suddenly become, oh, it's a sneaky person.
Totally. Like,
oh, yeah, it's something. So anyway, now get out my horse.
I think that's so real. And it was something, honestly, like among my cast since the show, we've talked about that. Why do these traits get associated with particular people? And there's definitely unconscious bias there, you know, like, and I think the sneaky term being applied to the Asian players is extremely real and unfortunate.
Yeah, it's bothering me so much, and I didn't like it, but,
And I think
original question again.
Yeah, I honestly don't remember, but like it's funny that you brought up, you know, the beauty tribe, because I earlier in this series I talked to Bryce, who was also on, you know, the original beauty tribe on Cagayan, and it's the same situation where you had a tribe. The beauty tribe was just basically a bunch of like young, hot, straight white people, and then one gay man of color. And it's, you know, and it's
pretty
glaring to me when I, you know, since I've been doing these interviews. And, you know, like you were saying, it doesn't have to be that people don't like you explicitly because you're Asian or don't like you explicitly because you're gay. But just all those things do add up to, you know, people do tend to just go with people that they feel comfortable with, you know, and part of that comfortability is people that you're used to. And like, it's just a lot of things on top of each other that make it so that potentially you're, you know, the odd person out.
With Survivor, it's like you want to get people want to get any reason, you want to stand out, you know, any reason to, especially in the early before you form alliance, like any reason to get somebody else out, and of course they're gonna get the odd person out always, and it's just the nature of the game, you know. But to go back with representation, you know, like we see past player, like, I don't know, when you see people of our tribe, I mean, everybody have tribe, right? Like, I see the Asian person, I get not good, and you're really wishing for them. And when I'm on it, I want to not embarrass. I mean, I want to represent well. And some people, I mean, I'm always saying that I am responsible for me only, but you can't help it. You're representing, you know, and you see other people acting badly or people beating up on old Asian. It's like, no, it's like, it's part of your member. So you want to, you know, so anyway, it's, I think being gay is a little more, I might get in many trouble. I mean, odds are on the show, I think it's less, and I have double.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But when I walk, the shows are different, but in my real life, I walk in the room, I own the room. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't apologize. You know, I own the room. When Mark and I walking on the conservative places, we try to hold hand because I want to show, we want to be visible, right? But on the show itself, it's different. It's like a lot of power you can't control. So, but you try to do, I think for me, I think people don't see me as gay or Asian. I don't know, maybe it's just me in my head. I'm like, oh, okay, that's just time. So which is good. I don't want people to see me as,
I know, I think that's 100% right. And I think that's the cool thing about when they're, I think that's why representation on these shows is really important because, you know, if you just say to someone, okay, picture like an older Asian man or like picture an older Asian gay man, that's like all they can do is maybe think of stereotypes. But then when you say picture Ty from Survivor, everyone's like, oh, I love that guy. They, you know, like Ty is great, you know, and it really, it gives you that, that like humanization of a story and can, you can actually put a face to it and a name to it. And I just want to say, please.
No. Yeah. But that's exactly what it is, right? People, you don't know. This is the origin of, is fear, right? I mean, gay people are like, this is classic, right? I don't know gay people, but like, oh, there with somebody say, oh, like, they think gay people are feminine or they are whatever, you know, like whatever stereotyping you want to put a label on. But my next door neighbor, they're fine. Even though they're gay, right? Like they're fine. Tom and Jerry's not fine, but so-and-so, like people are the parade. But they forgot that's just a party parade. Like they take their extreme. Just like people have fear of people with different race or different culture because they don't know them. But if they're your next door neighbor, you got to know them. They're just like you and I. Like, that's the problem. That's what it is. You know, we are different, but deep down, we just human beings. You know,
Totally. So. I think that's so, so, so real. And I just wanted to say that, you know, so this series, it's about like also celebrating like our experiences. And I want to just like say that, you know, if you were worried about, you know, representation, obviously, you know, I'm not Asian, so I can't, I didn't have the experience of watching you from that lens, but, as a gay person watching you go out there and like, just like kill it. Like, you know, you weren't just out there. I mean, you freaking, how many idols did you find over the course of your two games? And like, how many immunities did you win? And I think it was so, I was thinking about it because I was thinking about, I mean, the first time I watched Koh Rang, I was very, there's a lot of like masculinity on that season. You know, you have Scott and Jason, especially, who I'm not trying to say anything about them as people. I only knew the characters on the show, but you know, there's just a lot of like toxicness there. But then there's you who I just feel like presents a type of masculinity where, you know, you're doing all the things that are like the stereotypical masculine things. You're finding idols, you're winning immunities, you're the provider, you know, but doing it in this just such a different way and with such a like gentleness and lovability that like, I don't know, it just, it's honestly very inspiring for me. I've been thinking about my own, you know, masculine elements. And I was thinking like, that's the type of masculinity. Ty's masculinity is something that I honestly could like aspire to and relate with. So.
Oh, thank you. You're so kind. No, Scott and Jason, they're wonderful people. It's the game, and you know, But I mean, I've been thinking about what happened with me and Scott too. So, but it's a game, you know. Nobody tell me what to do.
Totally. And I think that's another cool thing. I mean, I think you know you show up as so like gentle or something like that, but then. There's moments of conflict, you know, with like Scott in the show or like Brad later. And I feel like it was really cool to see you also stand up for yourself and like not in a aggressive way, just like standing your ground way. And I just think you're really inspiring, honestly. And I think, I think it's cool to see someone like you on TV, really.
Well, thank you. I mean, I think everybody should remember that, especially on Survivor. You also a vote, you know, right?
Yep.
Don't forget, you know, you want to leave. You want to leave the show on your term, feel like you're in control of your own destiny. So that's also in life too, you know. Don't let anybody tell you what to do.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, I'm sure did people reach out to you after the show and tell you, like, was the reception, were you happy with the reception from the show? Do you feel like,
Oh my God. You know, I work as a gardener, right? I work outside for the city, Seating County, San Francisco, so along the waterfront. So I work outside. And even the first episode, people recognize me. I look exactly like I was on the show. So, but I'm even to this day, I got recognized so 3 or 4 times a week at least. Mm-hmm. I'm in Yosemite hiking on a middle, like hiking up this waterfall, and people recognize. It's crazy. I know it's, but you know what's a really cool thing? Like Survivor is such an international and show. Like people from all over the world, people recognizing people, kids love me for some reason. I keep thinking because I'm odd, because I'm so different than everybody else. I'm like the oddball, and maybe I don't know. I think that kids love me, and they're wonderful.
And I love that. And like, what an amazing role model, you know, like I really feel like that, you know, what you presented on the show of, you know, caring for all the like animals and all the living things. And like, I just, you're very beautiful.
Well, no, you're too kind. No, thank you. I'm still, you just say that just remind me because I was looking for an idol. That's a gift of me. Like, pulling out like telling me, like people are like, I'm pulling out tree because no freaking tree, like production just plant them, like to stopping us. And then every single tree I pull out, I replant it. Yeah. So just for the record, I keep telling people, no, don't look at that.
I watched that first episode again right before this, and I noticed that you planted them, and you also said, sorry, tree. I'm looking for it. You were talking. You made this sure the tree knew it wasn't the tree's fault.
I don't know. I think you just need to wear, you know, with climate change and all this thing. I mean, just be aware of your place, of your place in the world, you know. Because we human being, we use a lot of, we have a lot of power, seems like, and we tap out the resource. Okay, I'm gonna be in really, really, really big trouble to say this, but I always ask people, like, if you have, if you snap your finger, right? If all the human beings in this world disappear, would you do it?
Wow.
I'm asking you, Abby.
Yeah, you're putting me on the spot. I mean, I hear what you're saying. That obviously, I mean, for the world, I guess that's good, right? I mean, we really are. I love so many people in the world, you know.
Yes,
so it's that's hard. So you would?
Oh my God, in a heartbeat. Like I think. Oh my God. God, a Buddha, give me that power. I would snap a finger, all human beings would be gone. Cause I think the world just exists fine without us. Mm-hmm. I mean, definitely a lot better. We do too many distractions, you know, it's really depressing to see all this plastic in the ocean, you know, and the turtle eating it, thinking it's jellyfish, and then, you know, it's just depressing. But I don't know. I just feel bad for. So I mean, so do everybody do what? now it sounds like I'm going to be preaching. This is
it's
terrible.
Good. It's good.
I think well, we just do our part. Don't use plastic anymore. Whatever plastic you have at home, reuse it. Reuse. Keep reusing. You know what's really upsetting? Like, I work at the park, right? I see people bring by lunch. That's fine, you buy lunch. But the packaging is crazy. There's right. a plastic bag, put your sandwich box in there. Inside the sandwich are a salad, and there's a fork, and there's a little dressing, side dressing. There's so many freaking packaging. It depresses me, you know? And also say, it's just not good. Yeah, just pack your own lunch and then save your money and go on a trip or something. Or just be aware. Actually, you can do that. Just be aware of it because those plastic never disappear, you know.
It's so true. It's so true. And no, I am glad that you're talking about this. And like, I think, I mean, the world is kind of, no, it's good. It's good.
I should not go to that.
Bum me out a little. Cause I mean, the world the world is bad. The world is bad.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think there's all the things that we can do to make the world better and to add less waste and, you know, do what we can. And I do think also like, I think that love is a really powerful thing. And I think that human love is like one of the most special, is to me the most special thing in the world. So, I mean, but not at the exclusion of all other species, but I just.
Just be kind. Just be kind. I mean, everybody you encounter, trying to make it, oh my God, this part, now I'm going down the, like, I'm just saying, just make people's days better. That you feel better. But God, this is so sorry. But that's how I live. But I didn't mean to be preachy. You can cut off.
No.
Feel free to edit. And if you're in control of this podcast, right? You're in the host, so do whatever you need to do.
Hell no. Because honestly,
let's get back to the game.
Okay. We'll get back to Survivor. But it's so important. And I think, you know, Survivor takes us to all these you know, exotic locations and things, and it's really important to, you know, protect those places and everything. So I'm very glad you bring that up.
We were in Fiji and we were looking for a giant clam. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, and they say, oh, we don't see that anymore. Because I was in Kawang, we found a lot of big giant clam, delicious, you know, like we have to eat the sub protein. And Fiji, they say, oh, there's no, at one point, I don't know, somehow we find out. That might be after the show, but because it's like so depleted for some reason, maybe the warming, the acidity of the ocean, not the warming of the ocean, but they're not there anymore. So it's depressing. All right. Go to celebration.
Okay. If you don't mind me asking about one sort of depressing thing from.
Yes, go for it. In charge.
Okay. Well, so I really wanted to ask you. So obviously you were at the tribal council where Jeff Varner outed Zeke. As trans. And so when I watched that episode, I knew that that was going to happen, but I hadn't seen it yet. And you know, obviously it was incredibly horrible, what happened. And I think one of the good parts about the scene was just how strongly everyone else in the tribe, including you, just like immediately was like, this is wrong. This is not okay. And I think I remember really distinctly you saying, you know, like, you can't decide when someone else comes out. Like, that's not for you to say. And I just kind of wondered, you know, you're coming to that as a gay person and kind of, you know, I don't know. I don't exactly have a question there, but I was glad that you were there and that your voice was there for that moment, you know?
No, I mean, especially Gap Varner as a gay person, he should know better. I don't think anybody have the right to out anybody at all because you have no idea what everybody's situation is. I mean, it's great. I mean, unless I'm going to qualify it, unless somebody's doing evil, like if a politician, a gay politician in a closet and passing policy against a gay politician, then I'll be the first one to out them. But as far as outing people, no, we don't know their situation is. And even if we do, is that individual right, that person come out when they come out. Yeah. And I actually people say, especially a kid, because I don't want a kid to be out and get kicked out on the street. Mm-hmm. You come out when you become adult. Don't out. I mean, kids should not, unless you have a safe place to go to, don't come out and live on the street. That's the worst situation, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's my view. So
no, I think that's so right. And I think, you know, for people that are listening to this, I think, yeah, there is such an emphasis on like coming out is, you know, and it is such an amazing thing. And like you're saying, it's, if you are not in a place where it's safe for whatever reason to do that, like, no, you are valid and you are wonderful. And, you know, the time will come hopefully when you can live that way. But like, yeah, it's not for everybody every moment to come out. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Like, unless it's not really not safe situation or you have an adult you can go to, mm-hmm. but you know, so don't, you know, it's like, with that situation, I'm so angry at Varner. Like, he should know better. Like, he really should know better. Actually, I didn't even know Zeke was trans. I mean, she was, he's not trans. What's it called? He transitioned, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did not know. I thought, it's funny you say that, because at one point we just said, hey, the three gay person on this.
I know.
Let's have a gay alliance.
Yeah.
Right? Let's have a gay alliance. I'm not sure I brought it up to Zeke or Ivana, but just like I say, you know, there's gay people. I mean, we are just like anybody else, right? That we got like, we put label, we identify as gay. The African American, like, identify black. You have a black alliance, or yeah, it's the game is big. I mean, it's really we are individual. I mean, we put label ourselves, but we are individual. Like, you're a gay person. It's funny because at one point I tell Zeke, I say, God, you're gay and I'm gay. Why? How come we don't have the chemistry? I said, why can't we be funny? I literally told Zeke that at one point. I did not know.
You wanted to have a showmance with Zeke?
No. It just be funny, you know. I thought, hey, let's have a cool buddy. You know, let's hang out. You know, it's
totally
because when when you're gay, when you suddenly you find another person, you walk in a room, you see another person gay, your guards are down. I mean, we belong. Like, you know, you could be safe with this person. You can say anything you want. Like, it's the same situation in with Zeke. Like, totally. I felt like that. But yeah, so that's what I meant. But you know, you're in a safe space with that person.
Totally. Right? And as you were saying, like, coming from an experience on your first season where you came into a tribe where you were the only gay person, the only Asian person on your tribe. Like, yeah, it must have felt so cool to like have a moment where, you know, you weren't the only one for a little, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But the game Survivor is so big. It's the game. Like, yep. It's just like, it depends on how you connect with the other person, your alliance. It's not because based on color of the skin, based on anything, it's basically individual. That just like in life, you know, like people say, how come you don't hang out with that Asian? Cause I say, well, we don't have much in common, right? It's about life experience in common. Just how we draw to who we drawn to. Sometimes you can't explain, right?
Totally, yeah. Totally, 100%.
Yeah. So Anyway, that was but the good thing come out that whole CJ. I mean, that with CBS, obviously they did an amazing job, and I think bring the conversation mm-hmm. into the open for people. So I think bring awareness. And that's a good thing. One thing, I mean, terrible for Zeke. I'm not sure how he feel about this thing, but I think they just at least have to come. I mean, survivors. We are cross spectrum of society, and things happen on the show, happen in real life, and now we have a platform to have a conversation.
Totally, totally. And if you're listening to this podcast now, we got to interview Zeke, and that'll be on the episode that comes out right before this one. People will have the chance to hear from him. And yeah, I think basically what he said was along the lines of, it's good that it exists as a thing that you can watch, like, you know, that this moment happened and then the awareness got to happen, but it was really bad for him. And it's like, yeah, not worth the individual cost. But, you know, the fact that it does exist can have some positives also, I guess.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I did not. I'm so
disappointed. No, I'm not
trying for him. I didn't want to make light of it.
No. I think you're saying the same thing. I think what you're saying is the same.
I heard your first one with Bryce. And you mentioned Zeke the next one. I said, I can't wait to hear.
Yeah. I mean, he's the best. So speaking of people that you do have chemistry with, one of my favorite moments, I think probably my favorite genre of all TV is Survivor family visits with queer loved ones. When Mark came out, like I rewatched this yesterday, it's so sweet and beautiful. And like, first of all, you two are a gorgeous couple, and the things he said about you were just so sweet and loving. And, I'm just very happy that we got to see that. And, was that moment, as amazing as it seemed?
When you're on the show, it becomes so fragile, your whole emotion, you can't trust anybody, and your loved one visit, which is so such a big deal, right? I just remember his stumble on his Mark didn't wear flip flop too much. I tell him, if you're on the show, you gotta wear flip flop and wear a shirt. I want you to look really, really cute. And he looks so tall. He's really anyway. But the funny thing is, I think I might be wrong. I think that was her first gay kiss.
I think it might have been. I was talking with
the first kiss.
That's so cool. I remember noticing because I was talking with Amy Cusack, who will be in this episode with you. And she said they deleted her kiss with her girlfriend back in season 9. But and then I watched your film visit and they show that kiss and it's very sweet.
I know. It's so, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's, you know, it was good I'm so happy that we did that. But the funny thing is, this is crazy. I'm actually not really out to my family.
Oh, wow.
After 12 years or whatever, we've been together. That's how crazy. Well, you know, in Asian family, we have like an understanding. Like Mark is always the roommate. Like when I go visit my mom always like where's your roommate? And my mom loved Mark. Mark's a nurse right now, right? So she's always asking about all the house stuff. But yeah, after that show, you know, so the people, all the relatives, suddenly contacting my mom far away. Say, oh my God, that's suddenly I'm out. My mom know, them know, but we don't really talk. I'm kind of private person, you know. I'm not. We don't talk about feeling. It's very typical Asian. Well, my family anyway, very typical. We don't talk about feeling. We don't talk about any of that. But that like put suddenly, even up to this day, we don't really. I don't think my mom know I'm married. This is crazy. There weren't even the wedding. Or we just went to City Hall just to file paper. But it's kind of sweet because she know who he is, you know. But all now suddenly all the families everybody know, and now I'm out, which is great. But I still don't talk about. But the crazy thing, I don't know, it's just me. I'm out of work, you know, I'm out on the street. I don't talk about feeling with my, but when we're in some conservative place, we always make sure people know we're gay. We hold hand, we're gay couple, we mixed couple, we, you know, I want to be there. I want to be, yeah. So it's important.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, no, it really, and I also have to say, you and Mark are also represent what me and my partner are of the tall short representation of a big height disparity in the couple.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so I like seeing that also.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your partner's name?
My partner's Carmel. She's like 5'10" and I'm 5'2". Okay. So yeah, we've got.
Oh my God. You're 5'2"?
I'm small. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Oh my God. You look so much taller on TV. I thought you're 5'6". I'm 5'3¾".
And how tall is Mark?
Mark's 5'10".
Yeah. So yeah, pretty similar. Also, yeah.
5'11". Yeah, we're similar. Yeah.
Yeah. We got the tall hotties. I know. So, you know,
People look at us on the street. People, he's turned head. People always look at him, especially in the cast show. Yeah.
He's good.
You don't know him, but I'm going to out him. He used to be a soap star. He used to be on One Life to Live.
On a soap opera, really?
Yeah, he was an actor for a while. For 3 years on the show.
He has the look, and he was so, like, the way he spoke, like, it really felt like it makes sense. Like, he had a camera presence on there. And you called him the love of your life. It was just very, I love it. So very sweet.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm glad. Let's have more LGBTQ family out there.
Yes, absolutely.
It's going to happen. I mean, there's more and more of us. How many we have this season? Five.
Which is, good. I hadn't put it together that Hai also, his family came from Vietnam and he's also gay. You know, how did that feel to see that come after you on the show, you know?
Hi, if you're listening, I feel terrible. I should reach out to him, to you.
You're doing it now.
Okay, hi. Let's meet up sometime because I think we have similar. I don't know specifically. Yeah, I think he is from Vietnam, and his family is not far from my family. We come from all my mom's countryside families way at the bottom, I think. But yeah, I'm sorry. I was a little bit out. Anyway, long story, but I should be reaching out to people, to all the new fire a little bit more. I'm a little bit social media shy. I don't do anything, so as you can tell. But but this might get me excited and might help me to do more. So thanks for the opportunity.
Of course. Yes, and I hope that we get to meet in life one day and that, you know, I really am. Oh, sorry.
No, I think I'm going to see you. Are you going to be on Hearts of Reality?
Yes, I am signed up for Hearts of Reality.
Signed up yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to be there too, so we're going to meet.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Are you going to bring the hunk with you? Bring Mr. Mark?
Oh, Mark? No, I think he's working. So, he didn't have much time. No, I'll come by myself. So I'll hang out.
Yay. I can't wait for that. And I really appreciate you so much, like, doing this interview and just being so open. And, you know, I just think, like you said, I think, I really just think the more that we share our stories and put ourselves out there for people like us, where, you know, it is safe to talk, you know, on this platform and everything like that, like, it has a lot of good. And I know that there's people that are listening to this that aren't in those situations in their life. And I just hope that, you know, anyone listening to this, like, it really does get better. And I just really hope that, you know, life is long and you never know, you know, from where you start to where you end up. And I just hope that everyone out there, like, no matter where you are in that journey, that you just have the happiest pride. And
Well say. I think it is. There's a lot of people out there and you'd be amazed. Just open yourself up and ask for help or open yourself up for the support and just enjoy pride, everybody. And, you know, however you do it from your own home or just small circle of friends. There's a lot of people out there. And I think it's, just think how far we got, you know, for a few years. So.
Yes. And don't use plastic.
Go ahead. I mean, just reuse. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you again so much for being here, Ty. Is there anything that you want to plug or promote or anything that you care about and you want to make sure people know?
Yes. If you're listening to me and right now and you listen to the IHAP Rob Head of the Podcast, I know if you're a fan of Survivor, you have to get the new Survivor book, 48th anniversary commemorative book. It just crazily, everything you ever want to know about Survivor, okay? Like the whole production challenge, and of course, all the interview, and with Jeff, of course, Jeff and Sia, you know, she talked about how, you know, me.
How you got the first Sia money?
Yes!
Yes!
Oh my God, and start the tradition is so beautiful. It's amazing. Not just that. But just the book alone, like they go to season and it bring out all the highlight, all your favorite. Gonna be on it. If you're a big fan, you're gonna see. So it bring you right back to the season. All right. And talk about all the staff who's winning and crazy thing are happening that season. Like you have to get this book. It's only $12.99. All right. You can just skip out to your cafe latte or to a cappuccino in the morning, make yourself a cup of coffee at home, save your money, $12.99, get this. And I cannot wait until the fall. I think that the hard copy is going to come out in the fall when season 43 is coming out. Everybody in my life is going to get that for their Christmas. You know why? Because I'm also in it, right? I think I'm plugging something. No, not because I'm in it. But
wait, what is your part of it? Is it there's an interview with you or something?
Yeah, one of the pages that there's something. Of course, when I look through, I'm looking for everything about me. So
of course,
I'm in a field picture. Market Chicken, of course, Market Chicken's in it, and I think on my page, our season, our current season, I'm up here with Aubrey, and we talk about each other, and then it's just crazy, like a lot of tips, and you know the Rob and Steven Fishback, of course, the Know It All guy, of course they're in it. They're commentating on everything. I think and congratulations to Cynthia Wang. She's the one I think did all the interview. She interviewed me, so I think she did all the writing and the rest of the team. Whoever put it is just crazy. Like they didn't go to the prop, like how to make like all the beautiful, the set and the challenge and the tribal set. It just everything. Even you're not a Survivor fan, just watching this whole thing, how this whole thing come together. That's why it's like the greatest show. Like I'm not just hugging the show, but it just because I mean, it's just crazy beautiful. Everybody go get it. Okay, that's one thing. Right. Yeah.
That's awesome.
You got your copy yet, Abby?
No, I don't have one yet.
What are you waiting for?
I don't know. I was waiting for you to tell me to do it.
All right, I'm telling you to do it. I'm gonna send you a copy of it.
Oh my God!
If I can somehow do it. So.
I'll get one. But that's awesome. That's so cool. I can't wait to see your season.
I think even though it's ended season 40, but season 41 is in it.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Now that I know that 41's in it, now I'll get one. You know.
Yes. Yeah. So that's one thing. And what else? Oh, I want to. Can I put something else too?
Of course. Please.
All right.
Whatever you want.
You know. All right. So since I have the floor, I'm a beekeeper, right? You guys, a lot of people know I've been doing bee for 17 years ago. I don't know why. Anyway, I want, bees are really, honeybees are important. Like two third of our food is all, like everything you eat, two third of the food you eat is coming from, have to be visited by a pollinator, most likely a honeybee, if not some other native pollinator. Like strawberry, watermelon, you know, put almond, anything you can think of is visited by honeybee. And recently we have a lot of trouble with pesticide, stress and disease. So honeybees are in trouble. So a third of the food we eat is like from grain, like corn and wheat and rice, and you can't just eat that. You want to eat the fruit too. So with those, the grain don't need to be pollinated by bees. So, but bees are really important. And so I want, if you guys can, I would like for everybody who listen to this, you grow some bee friendly plant. Like Google bee friendly plant or pollinated plant in your region, right? I guarantee you got so many visited by butterfly, hummingbird, bees, and there's a lot of native bees too. So we need to create habitat for bees. So that's another plug, right?
That's so awesome. I'm so glad you brought that up. Wait, so what are the, is it basically things with like really big flowers or like colorful flowers or what are the good things?
No, well, I mean, most flowers have nectar, have nectar to attract the bee. Different flowers attract different, not necessarily beautiful flower. Like even like a lot of weed that you think is a weed, like they sow anything, pretty much all flowers are visited by bees. And so whatever you want to grow something native in your area or something will do well or something will create, if you can grow something, why not grow something that also beautiful and create habitat for the butterfly to hummingbird. I mean, why not, right? Instead of just growing, like, I don't know.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean,
totally. Yeah. I feel like most people, I feel like a lot of people have been doing gardens and stuff since COVID, and probably most people just don't think about this at all. So that's amazing to get advice from someone who really knows. That's awesome.
Well, and also if you're going to grow something, why not grow vegetable too, right? It's really, you don't need a lot of plot. I mean, I think you're a cook, right? I read through your bio.
Yes.
You love to cook, right? That's another thing I want to plug, right? Grow your, and you don't need a lot of area to start with little pot to grow some herbs, like grow your basil. It's amazing to cook with fresh herbs, but it doesn't take a lot of room to grow your lettuce or your mixture of lettuce mix. I mean, yeah, just if you have a little, start small. When you start small and start growing, I need more room and to start from there. But I want people to also cook. Like, I love cooking, right? I cook every night, right? And so, I mean, so you, right? I mean, it's cooking is very relaxing. I think a lot of people don't, I grew up with 10 brothers and sisters, so we always cook for everybody, right? And cooking is relaxing for me. Like, and then also save you a lot of money, right? You don't, I mean, I'm not saying like not to support the restaurant. We really, restaurant with COVID time, restaurant business really need our help to, support them. But a lot of time, you know, going out take a lot of time and effort. So cook at home and if you like spaghetti, be obsessed about, this is what I want people to do, right? If you like pizza, but spaghetti, be obsessed about that and be the expert. Just be really good at it, right? And then like when people will go to you for your spaghetti dinner, right? Or people go to you because you're a pizza guy or whatever, or you're a barbecue guy, right? What's your specialty? What do you like to cook, Abby?
I cook a lot of a salmon with a lot of stuff. Like I like to do like a protein and then like a lot of veggies around it is my like main thing.
Yeah.
But I love a pasta, and you could cook. I mean, my garden's not doing that well this year, but in the past, I've had tomatoes, I've had basil. You can do the whole thing, homegrown. I love it.
It's amazing. It doesn't take that much. And then also, like one last thing, I plug, and then I'll say goodbye. It takes way too much. And if you don't like to cook, you're a hiker, be a forager. Like, so much stuff. Like, stinging nettle was my favorite. Have you eaten stinging nettle?
No.
Oh my God. Well, that's a plant that you walk by and you touch it on your leg and you wear short and it'll sting you. Like, it's like a sharp sting. But that's the most, but when you pluck it, you wear glove and pluck the tip part and you cook it. It's the most highest nutritious if you, like, I'm vegetarian, right? It's the highest protein, the highest nutritious wild green that you can get. And you can get the wild, so that's my favorite. And also, like, wild, I think you should have wild radish. Like, we have, like, a weed, like, in the park. But, you eat the tip part when the flowers are coming out before they bloom. Eat that. That's like broccolini 100 times better.
Yummy.
It's like, that's my, yeah. So you don't want to cook, you want to go vegetable, go forage. Like, go look for the wild apple or look for a wild lemon tree that people know. And people are crazy. People grow stuff and people don't pick and let it drop and then go to the grocery store and buy stuff. It's crazy. Like, anyway, now become judgmental. But free food, you guys, go. You don't have, I guarantee you the wild food is going to taste so much better. Like, you like pasta, wild radish with a little olive oil and then toss the pasta in there is the best.
I love it. And it's good for the planet and survivor practice, you know?
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah. Hey, well, yeah, of course. Yeah. You know, all my season, we were looking for, we saw like the pea, the wild. I'm not sure, it might be on, you saw it too. It's like little pea, like wild pea. Gosh. Like green pea, like grow, like we ate the green, we ate the pot itself. Yeah, I mean.
Wow. We did not have that, I will have to say. But we
I think you have it.
Yeah, really?
Maybe. We got Sand Beach, right?
Well, the thing is, pretty much no one knew what anything was except for Nasir, yeah. And he found all the foods. So you get okay. Talk to Nasir.
Wow.
You
got, yeah. You only need one person. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Anyway. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Ty. And I really appreciate you just like coming here and being so like sharing your story and yourself. And I think these are amazing messages. Both everything you said about representation and all these important things about protecting our planet. So everybody out there, happy Pride and save the bees, plant pollinators, get the Survivor book and forage and get your own food. And, the world will be a better place. Honestly, it's all, it's
wow,
the least we
yeah.
can
Well, thank you for having me. And thank you. I have so much fun, and I really appreciate you inviting me on the show. And happy Pride, everybody. And yeah, do whatever Abby just told you to do, right?
So,
yeah. Take care,
so
everybody.
Much,
we'll see you guys soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye, Ty.
Mwah. Bye.
All right, everybody. It's Matt Scott back. And weren't those phenomenal conversations? Amy is really incredible. And I love how she just kind of shared her story and experience. And also just this fact that she hadn't thought about what her representation would look like before going out on the show. And that she didn't necessarily have conversations with Scout about being LGBTQ together. It really shows how dynamic these things are and how dynamic each of us are in our identities, that we're not only queerness, we're not only our gender or our race or whatever it might be, we are so many things. And that's something that also came across in the conversation with Ty, where he talks about being an Asian man but being a gay Asian man and all these other pieces of who he is. And I think it's an important reminder that as we have this series, we're not only talking just with queer people, but with people who have these dynamic experiences that have often gone unheard. I know I've always been really passionate about hearing from people who we often don't hear from. One, because it's more interesting, but two, because those are the voices that need to be amplified. And this conversation, these conversations with Amy and Ty have really helped do that. And I hope that you're able to walk away with something out of the conversations. And if you are, I would encourage you to use hashtag the Pride Has Spoken, along with hashtag RHAP, hashtag Survivor on social media to spread the word. If you are a queer community member, an LGBTQ plus community member, let us know what it is from these conversations that really jumped out or resonated with you. And if you are not, you could do the same thing using the hashtag. Let us know. You could tweet me at Matt Scott GW. You could tweet my co-host Grace at Hi From Grace. You could tweet the wonderful host of this series of these conversations, Evie Jagoda at Evie Jagoda. And let us know what you're thinking, because that's really what matters at the end of the day. This isn't just about the Survivor players. This isn't just about me and Grace as podcasters, but this is about all of us as a community really pushing forward the role that we could all have, whether it's as allies or as queer people or as Survivor players or as fans. We're all in this together. And that's one of the things I love about this series. So I hope that you will tune in next week as we dive in even more, as we continue to talk about these issues. We have something special coming up next week, so I won't spoil it much, but thank you for so much for being part of the Pride Has Spoken this month. And again, you can go to robhizawebsite.com/pride shirt to get yourself a the Pride Has Spoken t-shirt. But thanks again, everyone. And the last thing I want to plug is a conversation that I had with Grace Leader, one of the hosts of this podcast, who you've heard from in the last couple of weeks. Grace was a guest on Pod Friends, my podcast here on RHAP, interviewing people from the community, and talks about her experiences, her story, and hope that you will take time to check it out. Thanks everyone again for your time, and looking forward to having you on board again next week.